got to take this moment and then let it slip away. Let go of complicated feelings, then there's no price to pay.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio. This is DJ Phoebs once again bringing you in because we got a snow day at the clubhouse, or bad weather day. I'm under a foot of snow where I am, and it's still coming down. Hope y'all are staying safe and warm and dry wherever you find yourselves in the world. I'll be joined by DJ Cola joining me from home as well. We're going to bring you some great show tonight. Looking forward to talking about some things that are present in our world. We're going to be talking about the Respect for Marriage Act passing and, just something that's important for all of us. We're going to take in a little bit of a fall look back at Clubhouse and what's been going on, and looking ahead to the new year as well. And of course, bringing you all the great music that we enjoy. So stay tuned. This is Clubhouse Radio live on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. We're going to play you the daily news, and then we're going to bring you our show. Stay tuned.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The New York State Public Service Commission has ordered Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. to show why they should not face civil penalties for, and I quote, apparent failures related to the company's new customer information and billing system, end quote. According to a PSC report released December 15th, and I quote, Central Hudson's customer information and billing system were riddled with defects at launch, go live, resulting in overcharging and delayed bills for thousands of customers, as well as automatic withdrawals from bank accounts of many customers for multiple months' worth of charges. The system's transition also led to a drastic decrease in customer satisfaction metric, end quote. In September 2021, Central Hudson established a new customer information billing system. Thereafter, Central Hudson customers complained to local officials and the New York State Department of Public Service about excessive and delayed bills and a lack of customer support. The DPS in April 2022 began an investigation into the complaints and complications related to the system upgrade. That 8-month investigation identified several violations of the public service law, regulations, and commission orders. The report specifies a variety of missteps by the company, including a failure to adequately test the system, a failure to properly resource the project, a failure to properly train staff, a failure to heed the warnings of its own employees, and an overall lack of candor with its customers and the public. Central Hudson now has 30 days to demonstrate why the commission should not commence a civil penalty action and/or an administrative penalty proceeding. The company must also submit a plan to eliminate bimonthly estimates and to evaluate the potential impacts of such a charge on customers. And you can read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. Kathleen Moore is reporting for the Times Union. The New York State Board of Regents wants all 4-year-olds to have free preschool by 2030 and then expand the programs to 3-year-olds by 2035. The board has submitted a budget request to the state asking for $1.1 million for staff to redesign preschool funding. Access issues include trouble with transportation and limited space at existing preschools, as well as difficulty making the preschools accessible to those with disabilities. Most districts do not have space for preschool in their buildings, so they pay for space at existing private preschools, but many of those buildings are not accessible. Some have stairs, no elevators, not enough space for a wheelchair, or no accessible playground equipment. The Board of Regents has asked the state for $20 million for a preschool inclusivity grant that would be awarded to districts that provide services to four-year-olds with disabilities. The state would continue funding so that by 2035, all children 3 and older would be in free full-day education. The preschool years have long been understood to be a crucial learning time for children and a way to reduce the achievement gap. In 1965, the federal government launched Head Start for children ages 3 to 5, and research now shows that children who attended Head Start have better educational outcomes than their peers who did not go through the program. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News is reporting the number of private sector jobs in the Hudson Valley increased by 27,800, or 3.6%, for a total of 799,500 during the month of November. Growth was greatest in the education and health services sector, with more than 10,000 jobs added. The leisure and hospitality sector, with 6,900 jobs, and the professional and business services sector, which added 6,300 jobs. The losses were greatest in the financial activities and manufacturing sectors. The number of new jobs grew the most in Sullivan County at 6.8%. Ulster County saw 2% job growth. Greene and Dutchess Putnam area each reported 1% growth, and Columbia County saw 0.6% growth. Delaware County lost 8.8% of its jobs. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
And fill our hands with glue, and in my corduroys we'd walk to school. I sat and crossed my legs like Jim would do. She moved away, I was on season 3. It hit my heart so hard I'd hardly speak, but I could find some peace and privacy. A paper company to sail with me. Who are we to wonder where we're going? Who am I to tell me who I am? Let's take it back and take in every moment. Who am I to tell me who I am? I turned down Jameson when I was 12. That Friday night with Steve Carell, the one where Dwight became the head of sales. My 8th grade graduation wished me well. I lost my grandpa during season 6. I watched my mom, she cried and held her kids. My mind was broken up, I couldn't think, so I just hugged to the way Michael did. Why who are we to wonder where we're going? Who am I
The finale's done and I'm alone. I'm on a Netflix trip here on my phone. But who I am is in these episodes. So don't you tell me that it's just a show. Who are we to wonder where we're going? Who am I to tell me who I am? Let's take it back and take in every moment. Who am I to tell me who I am? Oh, who are we to wonder where we're going? Who am I to tell me who I am? Let's take it back and take in every moment. Who am I to tell me who I am? Oh, who am I to tell me who I am? Who am I to tell me who I am?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live at 90.7 FM, WGXC. This is DJ Phoebs, and I am joined with my co-host, DJ Cola.
Hello, everybody, it's DJ Cola. Snow day here, so I'm actually broadcasting from my house on a Google Meet, but everything's gonna be fine.
It is gonna be fine. Were you on a Netflix trip today with your day off of... School?
Yeah, more of a YouTube trip. Yeah. Actually, I was looking at some old YouTubers that I used to watch when I was, like, littler. And it was, like, just kind of a Netflix trip in its own right, a nostalgia trip. So I thought of playing that song as an intro.
Totally, was great.
And also, today we're going to be having a look back at fall, since this is our last show before the season changes on the 21st, and it officially hits winter. After that, I promise not to complain about the cold weather on this show anymore, at least for a little bit.
Because it's expected.
Before then. I start complaining again.
You can complain about the cold when it's fall, but not when it's winter.
Right. And also the snow. I hate being snowed in.
Doesn't even sound like y'all really are snowed in. How much do you have snow over where you are in Catskill?
Yeah, not anymore. We were at the beginning. And also, yesterday we got some snow.
Okay.
Or was it the day before? Something like that.
I hope it sticks. We were just talking earlier on a little team meeting for Clubhouse about needing to go sledding, you know? But we're like, is there enough snow yet? There's a BD Powers Place, is a really beautiful park up Bridge Street and kind of by the water. And they were encouraging us to come by and check out their sledding one of these days. So we're excited about that possibility. So I hope you all get enough snow. I've got a foot here already of snow in Vermont where I am. So definitely will be some sledding happening.
Yeah, on top of that, I think it's actually snowing right now out here in Catskill.
Catching up, maybe.
It's like a mix between snow. It's turning into snow and slush. It's a 34 here, and today we didn't have a weather update. We just kind of had a news update. I'll do a mini one for that right now. And for Catskill, since I can't speak around Acre and Hudson. Which we also broadcast to. But in Catskill, it's kind of a mix between snow and rain. I'm going to call it slow. Perfect. It's slowing outside. You know, got some slow out on the roads. Be careful.
Go slow.
Don't crash. Yeah, exactly. Point of that. Listen, I'm so smart. It comes back around. Saturday to Tuesday, it's supposed to be clear. No snow. Saturday, it's going to be a high of 41, low of 21. Sunday, it's going to be a high of 37, low of 25. And then it's the next time it's supposed to snow is actually soon. It's going to be on Thursday. So
enjoy it
while we can. You know?
Yeah. Cool. So what do we got on the lineup for today's show?
So today's show, we're going to be looking at back at the fall, kind of talking about how it was. Also talk about what's coming up for the winter. We have a performance coming up soon, so that's super cool. We're going to be talking about some current events, too.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, all right. Yeah, December 21st is the first day of winter, winter solstice. It is the day of the year with the least amount of sunlight, which I love that day because it's kind of the day to just, I don't know. For me, I like to like take a minute and really appreciate, give some love to this moment of the year. It's slow, kind of quiet, you know, and then every day after the 21st, it's just more sunlight and, you know, for the next 6 months. So that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, when you look back on this past fall at the clubhouse, what pops out to you as one of your favorite moments or favorite things you did?
I have to say, a trip to the Rage Room was one of the, or it was actually called the Relief Room. I keep on calling it a Rage Room, where we just went and smashed things. Like, it's one of those rooms where you pay to go in and put on equipment so you don't, like, hurt yourself on glass or get glass in your eye. We had goggles, so it's all safe. Don't worry. We also had waivers and all that. And we just got smashed up. We threw plates at walls. We hit printers with crowbars. It was really fun. Therapeutic experience. On top of that, looking back on it, being here on radio was definitely a large part of it.
Awesome. The Relief Room sounds so good. Was it actually as cathartic? Was it as cathartic as we hoped it was? Like, did you feel better after having that moment to just like let out rage or whatever emotions?
Yeah, I was actually like, I didn't realize how much of a workout it really was during it. Because like in there, you're like actually using all of your strength a lot of the time. And you don't realize like how much stamina you're burning. So when you're out of it, you're like really relaxed, but also really sleepy. I had such a good sleep that night when I went home.
Nice. Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, what a highlight. Yeah, I've really enjoyed radio this past season as well. You know, I just feel like we're always evolving and growing and, you know, folks coming in, coming out. I know part of what we're looking forward to with the radio show is, you know, we got this whole group of younger folks who've been coming to the clubhouse. You know, we work with youth ages 12 to 17, so we've got, you know, I saw some people slide in early. So we got some like 11, 12, 13-year-olds that I'm super excited for them to kind of learn from all of your and the rest of the kind of seasoned veteran crew, you know, how to make the show work so that we can keep this going for years and years, you know, and bring new voices in and hear new perspectives. So I'm excited for you to be able to help us out with bringing them in and doing some teaching about radio as well next semester or next season. I think that'll be really good semester. It's not school at the clubhouse, but you know what I mean. So I think that'll be really fun. And you did have a couple moments where you
here.
You had a couple times you've done that. Right with the younger kids. Mm-hmm. How has that been?
Fun, chaotic, I would say. It's a little bit difficult to get them in it. Sometimes they're a little bit anxious, but when we do, it's really fun. Once they forget like all the pressure too, and they start talking, we have such a great time.
Yeah, well, that's how the veterans were too way back when we started almost 4 years ago now.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When I started, I was terrified. Still in
suspense. Well, I appreciate what a, you know, loyal radio DJ you've been, and it's been great to get your thoughts and your music and your ideas on the show. So that's been really fun.
Yeah, likewise.
And yeah, what else has been going on looking back? We Harm Reduction Heroes, we're 1 week out. Next Monday is going to be our last session in the curriculum for this round of Harm Reduction Heroes. How has that been for you?
We've been having some... Oh, Harm Reduction Heroes has been pretty good. We've been learning. We are almost finished with the semester, you could call it. And once we're done, next time we start it up, we're going to be helping the community, teaching it more to the younger kids, like we were just talking about, the youth at the clubhouse. We're going to be spreading out. We do Narcan training at places. A lot of the time during, like, festivals, you might find us at a booth even. We're at the library once a month. So being able to, like, do that and help share that knowledge that could potentially save a life is, like, it's life-changing. I don't want to sound cliche or corny, so, yeah.
But it is, actually, you know. I mean, I think in both directions, like, it can be life-changing, obviously, if you get Narcan in the hands of the right person who literally saves a life, but also, you know, I think there's something really life-changing for a person also putting themselves in the position of supporting their community, knowing what the issues are in the community, finding ways to provide aid and care, and just being aware, you know. I think it helps break us out of sometimes our isolation, and, you know, it can feel like we're moving through the world on our own bubbles of trouble and struggle. But I think when we start to look at the issues from a community lens and start to connect with one another, we realize that we're not so alone in our struggles, and that we also have, like, a tremendous amount of ability and power to change some of the things that we're struggling with, or change the community that's creating some of that hardship for us. So, yeah, that's great. It's great to hear that that's been an outcome for you.
Yeah, I like that line you said about we kind of walk in our own bubbles of trouble, because when you are able to be in community, you share that bubble with other people, and, like, the good times multiply, and then, like, the bad times get divided.
Totally. I love that.
Instead of just taking everything on your back by yourself.
It's a great math equation. So into that. Yeah. And we had some really cool guest teachers over the fall, too, and I'm super excited to keep that going. You know, I want to give a little, you know, just some shout-outs, too, to some of the people who've been through this space and worked with us. You know, we've had Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition folks, Elliot and Lukey tap in to connect with us and kind of share some of what they're doing. Toggin, who runs Yod Wellness in Catskill, was doing capoeira and is interested in coming and working with us on Harm Reduction Heroes, kind of around issues of wellness and health next year. So that's super exciting.
That'd be cool if we did, you know, capoeira episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Talking about, like, the history of capoeira, some of the cool moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll be really great. You know, we had lawyers from Justice 456 come and join us to talk about how to defend our constitutional rights. Like, you know, just like a really cool range of interesting people with incredible lived experience and knowledge coming in to share that at the clubhouse. So, you know, for anyone listening out there who's, like, interested in the clubhouse, you know, we're located actually both in Catskill and Hudson. Our Catskill location is 455 Main Street, and we're open to the community after school. Basically, we're an after school drop-in center. So Monday through Friday from about 3 to 8, and then Saturdays from about 1 to 7, and do a lot of field trips on weekends and stuff. So yeah, we're open to 12 to 17 year olds with some flexibility on either side of that. And we also have programs that serve young adults in recovery. So if any of that's interesting to you, you want to tap in, you want to connect to this radio program, which anybody's super welcome to come join and participate in. Maybe you want to be a guest on the show. We love having community guests come and talk to us about what's going on, what they're doing. Hit us up. We're at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. That's OURTOWNOURTRUTH, ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. Love to have you, love to hear from you. Actually, that makes me think, one of the things I know you're looking forward to in this coming season with radio, you were thinking about maybe ways to do some call-in lines and make the show a little more interactive that way.
Yeah, no promises. I also wanted to try something with giveaways. Ooh. If that would be something cool. Trying to get the show more interactive, get more people to call in, maybe like a fifth caller or something. Or the best answer emailed to us at OurTownOurTruth.
Love it.
I believe.
Y'all stay committed. There's good stuff coming. Very cool. Very cool. Any other things from this past fall that stick out to you? You want to share with the people?
Something we've been doing a little bit recently this fall, but something I've been enjoying, the community dinners.
Tell us about that.
They're definitely not. Well, Alexis, she's a chef at our program. Well, she doesn't work as a chef. She just works as the title is slipping my mind.
Yeah,
just,
she's like staff. Yeah. Currently in training for certified peer recovery advocate as well. She's been doing that this past week. Yeah, but new to the team and bringing lots of amazing culinary skills. What is the dinner?
She is our chef. But she like worked as a chef for so long, and she's helps us run this program where we cook delicious food for anybody to come on in, try some for like the community, and it's really good. Teaching, we also teach people how to cook, like our staff here at the clubhouse, or like our daily, like come in, chill members will come in and help us cook. And it's a great experience. Like cooking the food together and then eating it always makes it taste better.
I always find that.
Plus, also we get some food from our community garden sometimes.
Nice.
And that food is like, so fresh. It's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing what a difference fresh food makes, doesn't it? Yeah, the community garden will definitely be going strong next year. And what a great program. It'll be in its third year.
Yeah, that's a shout out
before
we enter winter.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Well, we are coming close to the 6:30 mark, so I'm going to play us a song here. Play some Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger, which we're definitely not looking back in anger on our time at Clubhouse. And then we'll bring you the news update, and then we'll be back at you with some more conversation and some more music and reflections. So stay tuned, y'all.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nick Reisman reports for Spectrum News that Governor Kathy Hochul said on December 15th that the state budget this year should not include any tax increases or budget cuts. Hochul said, and I quote, "I don't believe that raising taxes in a time in which we just cut taxes makes sense. We just did that a year ago. I'm not going to turn around and say we're raising taxes. I don't foresee that," end quote. Carolyn Martinez Class, the campaign coordinator of the Invest in Our New York campaign, wishes Hochul would change her mind. Martinez Class said, and I quote, "New York voters overwhelmingly think the wealthy paying what they should in taxes makes sense. It allows the state to invest in services that benefit everyone. It's disappointing that the governor is not centering the needs of the people who elected her to office," end quote. Outgoing Budget Director Robert Mojica said the economy has several troubling indicators currently. Mojica said, and I quote, "The outlook is extraordinarily challenging. We're seeing most consensus economic forecasters predicting an economic downturn, which is driven by the actions of the federal government," end quote. You can read the full story at Spectrum News. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that Catskills Board of Education unanimously voted December 14th to spend up to $238,299.40 for emergency repairs at the middle school after a water main break caused a boiler room flood earlier this month. Insurance may cover some of the repairs, and the district repair service fund will pay the balance. The water main broke on December 2nd, at first canceling school for middle and high school students on December 5th. The next day, high school students returned to classrooms, while Catskills middle school students studied online until moving into the high school on December 12th. Interim Superintendent of Schools Thomas Bongiovi wrote a message to parents, and I quote, "We believe that in-person instruction is the best way for our students to learn, and we know that there will be kinks along the way. We are hoping to get our students back to their home at CMS as soon as possible," end quote. Read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Christy Gustafson Barlett reports in the Times Union that Randy McCartan retired from WRVE 99.5 FM after 40 years working in local radio. McCartan said, and I quote, "I may be doing some part-time on-air work after the first of the year on the river. I am also continuing my voiceover work and audiobook narration," end quote. It isn't the first time he left the local airwaves, as iHeartMedia let him go with many others, but McCartan returned to the river station in May 2020, nearly 5 months. McCartan had hosted the River Morning Show with Randy McCartan, which became the River Morning Show with Randy and Rachel. His co-host, Rachel Davis, also left the station, and now Kevin Rush hosts the station's morning show from Florida until a permanent replacement is named. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. I thought my hands were making moves, but the land's in the grooves. Unequivocally prove the truth. How did I get so confused? My path totally askew. Tapped the karma bank till I overdrew.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live on 90.7 FM WGXC. This is DJ Phoebs.
Hello, everybody, and this is DJ Cola.
That was a fun song. I hadn't heard that before. Nice pick.
Yeah, I feel like they're definitely an underrated band. They're called Rare Americans, for those of you who don't know. They're from Canada, which is funny. Still is America. But I feel like when people first hear America, they think of U.S.
Right? That's true. Technically.
I actually met somebody who, like, didn't think I had to explain it to them. Because when I told them they were Canadian, Rare Americans, they literally said, that's not American. And I kind of facepalmed a little bit, but that's okay.
I'm glad. You know, you got to educate people sometimes. We have a very, very sort of self-centric view here in the United States of America. So we just like to invisibilize the fact that we're just one of many, many countries here in the Americas. Come on, y'all. So I'm glad you could, you know, educate a little bit. Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of the United States of America, the United States of America just passed some interesting legislation that you wanted to talk about on today's show, the Respect of Marriage Act. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a big step towards just freedom for everybody instead of just freedom for the majority group that is seen as normal.
Yeah.
And also, this law not only protects gay marriage, but also interracial marriage,
yeah,
which I'm not sure if a lot of people know. Usually the first thing that this conversation go towards is gay marriage, since it's a controversial subject. But interracial marriage, too, is also protected in this new act.
Yeah, yeah. It was also, you know, I think we're in this moment with the Supreme Court being where it's at, that it's just things that we've taken for granted for decades now are suddenly like, huh, can we take that for granted? We have, you know, people who are holding to a very conservative, literal interpretation of the Constitution. And, yeah, so this is definitely an effort to kind of safeguard these two rights that thus far legal precedent has said are you know, protected, but that's maybe not enough. So now we have some federal protections around that. And really the protections, you know, the protections don't necessarily ban states from having different laws. You know, the federal government doesn't really have the power to override whether or not states will, you know, legalize same-sex or interracial marriages. But it does help ensure that state governments have to recognize same-sex and interracial marriages as valid if they were performed already. So, you know, if, for example, my partner and I decided to get married here in Vermont, you know, and we decided to go to a state that didn't have legal same-sex marriage, we could still be recognized in that state or have the same protections. Or if one of us ended up in the hospital in that state while we were on vacation, there wouldn't be any issues around, you know, spousal access, things like that. So, so, you know, I think a lot of folks are kind of seeing it as a really important step forward, and it doesn't necessarily provide all the rights that, you know, folks might have. It doesn't mean you won't necessarily be able to have same-sex or interracial marriages protected in all 50 states. But it is a step forward. I'm just so curious how it feels for you. I don't know. Did you ever think that at your age now in 2022, like, these would even be legal issues coming up?
Man, I don't know what to think about the world. We're all kind of like, to put it simply, there's a lot of things like slowly killing us. We just kind of don't care about them. We're all living in our own bubbles. It's interesting. It's an interesting time.
It is an interesting
time. We're kind of ignoring climate change. That's going to kill us soon. And nobody talks about how volcanoes could literally kill us at any moment, and we don't know, and we're actually overdue for some eruptions. So there's that. We're also overdue for some, like, sun magnetic waves. I don't know, solar flares, something like that.
Okay, okay.
Like, there's so many things that could kill us at any moment, and we're just kind of chilling. So,
just hanging in there, doing our best. Just doing our best, one day at a time. Yeah, it can be kind of overwhelming if you, like, let your mind go to all the things that are, potentially or actively causing harm in the world. But, you know, again, it's just like one step at a time, one thing at a time, you know, and doing what you can on a local scale to like just make life a little bit better and easier, you know, for one another. It's like the world's tough enough. We don't have to be tough on each other. So, yeah, yeah.
On a more positive side of things, on the more lighthearted side of things now, I told you about this before the show. I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory here, a lighthearted one that I don't think could harm anybody. I would be very surprised if this, like, harmed anybody. But do you believe in dragons?
Yes. I'm like, why not? Like, they're not conceptually, like, that hard to imagine. Like, whether or not there's still dragons, like, hiding out in mountains today, I don't know, because, like, humans have sort of developed and destroyed so much of the natural world. Like, is there any corner unturned at this point? I hope so. That would be awesome. I would love to know there's some, like, untouched island mountainous place where, like, dragons are just hanging out. And they're like, the humans haven't found us yet. But I think at a minimum,
I'm
like,
more
they have existed.
I'm thinking they could have existed in the past.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That doesn't even feel that controversial to me.
Where the theory starts. So pretty much, if there were dragons, they would be some sort of large reptile, like pterodactyls, for example, that has been spotted. Because there are drawings of reptilian dragons in the sky across many cultures. Like, independently of each other, that have no interactions. There's pictures and drawings of dragons from, like, Greece to China, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that element of how did they all arrive at that same idea?
Mm-hmm.
But, and then there's this one thing that blew my mind when I heard it that kind of got me along this conspiracy theory. But the thing is, reptiles are just things that fly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their bones are hollow, so they could lift themselves in the air. Birds' bones are hollow, if you didn't know that. Like, anything that flies, they got hollow bones. And the thing about hollowed bones is they don't fossilize.
Oh, is that real?
Yes. I believe so. Here, let me fact check this.
Like, are there no bird fossils?
Do hollow bones fossilize? Oh, it's poor for fossilization.
Okay.
The fragile bones break quickly after a bird dies, and they are preserved only under extraordinary circumstances.
Okay.
And that is from amnh.org. AMNH.org. What's that?
I don't know.
I'm gonna do a little bit backup look. Bring
now,
me there.
Did dinosaurs have hollow bones? Because dinosaurs and birds are very closely related as well. Like, chickens are dinosaur descendants.
Yeah, right? Chickens and dinosaurs are very, very close.
Yeah. Somebody who has chickens, they can be very dinosaur-like. Not that I've seen a dinosaur, but I just know. Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, how is it having many dinosaurs?
Yeah, or maybe it's like, you know, the fossils have been confused with other things or categorized as winged dinosaurs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or dragons were here so long ago that, like, we haven't even gotten to that layer of fossils in our digging. I don't know.
I like that. Yeah.
Possible. But what's curious, though, is that do you think that dinosaurs and humans – or not dinosaurs, obviously dinosaurs and humans. Like, do you think that dragons and humans – crossed over in terms of like how long they like when they were on the planet?
That's a good question. I think that's it. There's a chance, but I also think that it's likely we could have mistaken something else for a dragon.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Like some sort of flying reptile that still could have went extinct, but was a flying reptile.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Fascinating. What's your favorite, like, dinosaur media, like books or shows or movies? You have a favorite?
Dinosaur media.
I'm not sure if I do. I'm saying dinosaurs. Dragons. I meant dragons.
Oh. How to Train Your Dragon was good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a good one.
Huh. I'm reading this. The first dragon myths appear in independently Chinese and Indian or around 270 BC.
Okay. I don't know if you changed where your voice is on your mic, but your sound is cutting out a little bit.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Is this any better?
A little bit. Carry on.
Okay. Well, so, was there, who knows? You know, but it's just fun. Fun little speculative stuff.
I appreciate you asking me, bringing me in on your lighthearted conspiracy theory. It's nice to have some lighthearted conspiracy theories. There's so many terrible ones out there.
Yeah, you know, that's why I said from the beginning, if you could somehow hurt yourself off of that conspiracy theory, like you go dragon hunting and die.
Totally.
I don't even, like, I'll take responsibility for it. No, wait, no, I won't. I won't, but, like, how? Come on.
Yeah, that'd be good. There was a show that was it just called Dinosaur? I think of my favorite movie. Dinosaur show. It was in the 90s. And I think it was it was just called Dinosaurs. But there was like I'm the baby. There was, like, a baby dinosaur in the family. Like, I'm the baby. It was, like, hilarious. That's what I'm thinking of right now. It was a Jim Henson show. That's probably why I liked it so much. It makes sense.
Do you have any other funny, wacky conspiracy theories?
You know, not really. It's not a space I try to dwell in very much.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
I like the ones that don't like hurt us.
Totally.
You know?
Yes, I respect that. You've inspired me. I might let myself like start to go into funner, more fun territories around that.
Another one is called Stoned Ape Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that when humans were evolving from primate like ancestors or we are primates, from, like, monkey-like ancestors. We found psychedelic mushrooms just growing, and we ate them so much that our brains changed to develop language.
Yes, I do know this
theory. Because if you look at the brain growth, it was so rapid in humans.
Yeah, no, there's a few people who've been moving that theory ahead, and like it makes sense. I mean, think about it, they would have been pretty prolific, and one of the reasons that theory, you know, one of the pieces of evidence around that theory is the psychedelic mushrooms had a tendency to grow in the dung of, I can't remember what animal, but one of the animals that humans at that time period tended to follow, because that was common, like humans would be migratory, they would follow their food sources. And so some of the larger animals that they hunted and followed, that was like where scientists have found actually a lot of like have discovered that psychedelic mushrooms had grown. And
plus in a bunch of like other old civilizations, like in Aztec civilizations, for example, there's like written stuff about like searching for it specifically, and it roughly translate like one of the types of mushrooms roughly translated to like the flesh of gods.
Yeah. So Terrence McKenna.
So I guess that's not. That's. Oh no, go ahead.
I was gonna say Terrence McKenna is the ethnobotanist who wrote the book Food of the Gods. So that's where he kind of presented this stoned ape hypothesis, which is a hilarious name, by the way. but yeah, so if anyone's interested in that more, look up Food of the Gods by Terrence McKenna.
But yeah, that's that. If there's any other wacky conspiracy theories, you can feel free to share it at Our Town, Our Truths. And if anybody who's just joining in now on the show, we're broadcasting. We're Clubhouse Radio. We're broadcasting to 90.7 FM, Catskill, Acre, Hudson. Hello. And at the same time as I want to say that, we're also closing out soon. We're reaching the end of our show.
I know. The time goes so darn fast when we're on. So it is. It's okay. We got two song picks left. What would you prefer Atlas or Train? Soul Sister in between.
Let's do Atlas.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's wrap up with our shout outs real quick. Big thanks to the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green, who is the organization that's where the youth clubhouses are based. And then we're funded by OASIS, the Office of Addiction Supports and Services. You got any shout outs?
Big shout out to you. Thank you for running it down since we had a snow day here and or bad weather day or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and same to you for showing up. Yeah. And a big shout out to Wave Farm and WGXC for making it so easy for us to sign on from wherever we find ourselves in the world and for supporting this program. It's just been awesome to work with them. Oh, that was a highlight.
Yeah, that being
just speaking of fall highlights, y'all went to Wave Farm. I just want to shout that out. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. Wave Farm, it's great. It's an acre, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever want to go down there. It's so cool. It's like art, but for the ears. Like, they have exhibits up, but the primary, like, sense it focus on isn't visual, like, paintings. It's, like, hearing sounds from nature. It's super cool.
Yeah.
They actually, on the website, there's a station of a pond that plays from certain hours. Like, there's a microphone that just broadcasts a pond.
It's very cool. Yeah.
But that being said.
That being said.
After our yeah, you're looking at your clocks. You're looking at your watch. You might be even looking at your microwave time. And if you're not, I'm here to tell you. We're closing out, so we have one last song we're going to play.
Have a great night, everybody. Thanks so much for spending the hour with us here on Clubhouse Radio. And, yeah, stay warm out there.
Sunday morning.